We started talking last Sunday. I told you it would be just a short series, and if you're online, you can share the rest of this service today and allow others in your world to be blessed and helped by the word today. But we started talking about happiness, and I wanted to spend last Sunday and this Sunday on this subject. Last week, I talked about the happy hoax, the fact that there are some ideas around happiness, and there are some thoughts around happiness that really are untrue, and we have to focus in on God's definition of happiness. And we began last Sunday by asking a question: are you really happy? Are you really happy? I hope you've spent some time with that question this last week. I hope you've pondered that and thought through that a little bit and came desiring happiness, wanting true God-inspired happiness in your life. Let me just recap a little bit today, as well as expounding on a couple of the points from last week. But we talked about hurdles to happiness last week, hurdles to happiness. And you can always go back and scroll down on Facebook or go back to YouTube and re-watch last Sunday's message, or listen on the podcast at thechurchcove.com if you want to get caught up on the full message from last Sunday. But we talked about hurdles to happiness. One of those was the flawed example of our fathers. We know sometimes the generation ahead of us, maybe they were hard in the ways that they handled us, or maybe their own disposition just wasn't given to real joy. Maybe they didn't understand themselves because of whatever they experienced, and they didn't hear what you're hearing or have the revelation and understanding that you and I are walking in today. But we have the flawed example of our fathers. And then we have evil and suffering in the world. It is a hurdle to our happiness. I wake up, the example I used last week, I wake up knowing today is going to be a great day. Today is a good mood day. Today is a day to be excited about life, and then open social media and see that there is another calamity somewhere in the world, or there's an earthquake, or there is a hurricane in Lake Charles, or there is something happening, and then I feel guilty about being happy. I feel guilty about being in a good mood. I feel bad about feeling good, and so I allow my mood to change, and I reject the happiness that God is trying to put in my life because someone else is suffering in the world. And then the third hurdle to happiness was the sin in our own lives. Absolutely, it is a hurdle. If I'm not living right, if I'm not doing right, if I'm not walking according to the word of God. Hear me, you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to have it all together. You're not going to get your wings on this side of heaven. It's just not going to happen. You're always going to struggle. As long as you're living in flesh, there are going to be challenges and there are going to be temptations. So perfection is not the goal in order to attain happiness, but your desire being pointed in the right direction, your heart being in the right place. There is a desire for the things of God in my life. And he says, you know what? If you're pointed in the right direction, I'm going to make all of this work for you. But when there is willful sin in my life, when I'm being obstinate, when I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to go to church, but I'm going to keep doing this. I don't care what anybody says. That becomes a hurdle to my happiness. But there's another hurdle, and that's the hurdle that I want to deal with today. It is the hurdle of our own thoughts. Our thoughts are a hurdle to our happiness. Once upon a time, a man took his girls to a local fair. He thought to himself, what if I built a clean park for families? What if I developed a park where families could come and enjoy themselves? Yes, Disney World was once just a little thought in a big mind. It was a dream in a small world, because it is a small world after all. But what once was a thought became a massive number one vacation destination in all of the world. What began as a thought became a reality because someone was willing to think the right way. Paul lived this as well. He was facing challenges. He was facing difficulties. In fact, he was about to stand trial before King Agrippa. And it wasn't going his way. It wasn't going like he wanted it to go. But in Acts 26 and verse 2, Paul said, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. I'm in shackles. I'm in chains. I'm facing a really dark situation. My future does not look bright, but I think myself happy. You know why? Because thoughts are important. Someone asked Isaac Newton, how did you discover the law of gravity? He said, by thinking about it all the time. So let me ask you this. What do you think about all the time? What do you think about the most? If you were to take inventory, if you were to write out in the margin of your message notes today, and no one else is going to see that, and no one else is going to grade that. If you were to just write in the margins what you think about the most, what consumes the most of your thoughts, what would they be? Does happiness even rank anywhere at the top? Is it in the top 10? Is it in the top 3? Or are we allowing ourselves to think about so many other things, and happiness has fallen so far down to the bottom that we do not even think it is an option in our lives? So let me tell you, number one today, that God's family is a happy family. God's family is a happy family. A.W. Tozer said the people of God ought to be the happiest people in all the wide world. The people of God, you and I, people that are committed to Christ, people that are a part of a church, people who have given themselves to the world, we ought to be the happiest people in all the wide world. God's family is a happy family. Are you in the family today? Are you in the family of God today? Reality is, many families are dysfunctional in 2020. Our own natural families, our own natural, you know, cousins, uncles, aunts, grandparents, siblings, our own immediate families are dysfunctional. So we kind of take what is our personal reality or our personal truth, and we apply it to the family of God, and we say, well, if God's family is a happy family, then I guess I just bring all of my dysfunction and I apply it to God. I view God, my Father, the same way that I view my earthly father, and maybe that relationship wasn't so great Maybe there were significant challenges there, or maybe there was abuse there, or maybe there was pain there. And so I bring all of that into my spiritual relationship. And when I look at God, I wince. I turn my head in shame. I'm afraid of being abused spiritually as well. All of these things play a factor in the way we see God. But let me challenge you today to set some of that aside. I'm not saying you can forget it. I'm not saying you can close the door on it. But if somehow I could stop seeing God the way I see everyone else in my life, and I just allow God to be God in my life, because Psalm 144 and 15 says, "Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. This should be our basis for happiness. Not stuff or circumstances or savings account. Our basis for happiness should be the fact that He is our Lord, that we worship Him, that we have been redeemed by Him, that we have been helped by Him. Remember this verse from last week, Isaiah 35 and 10. The people ransomed by the Lord will come to Zion singing with joy. Everlasting happiness will be on their heads as a crown. They will have no sorrow or grief. We literally should be wearing a crown of happiness, because God has ransomed us. So God's family is a happy family. Number two, God is happy. I know that may completely mess with your view of God, because you see Him as judge. You see him as angry. You see Him as, the one who has to correct the wrong, the one who has to turn things around. We don't see God as being happy. Should we liken or compare God to our parents? He refers to Himself as such. He talks about, if your earthly father knows how to give you gifts, what do you think your heavenly father? Your heavenly father absolutely knows how to give you gifts. But listen, that is only as good as your parents were good. But hear me, God is better than our fathers who may have failed us. God is better than our mothers who may have let us down. God is God. We have to allow Him to be who He is in spite of the failings of people around us, because God is happy. Number three, God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be happy. I've had so many people message this week or reach out and say, you know what, I've never thought of it that way. I didn't know that's what God wanted for me. God wants you to be happy. And I'm convinced that the devil doesn't want you to hear this today, because this is actual spiritual warfare. Because if you decide to be happy, wait a minute, you lost me at the word decide. I cannot decide to be happy. My circumstances have to line up just perfectly in order for me to be happy. My relationship has to function just right in order for me to be happy. I can't decide to be happy. I'm waiting on Him to straighten up before I get happy. I'm waiting on her to do what she's supposed to do before I get happy. No. It's a revelation for me too. We have to decide that we are going to be happy. If you and I get a revelation of God's plan for our happiness, then guess what? The kingdom is going to grow. If you and I get happy about what God is doing in our lives, that happiness is contagious. That happiness spreads. That happiness becomes more and more, and the kingdom grows. Let's see what the word says. The word says, delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37 and 4. Maybe you've read this one, be glad in the Lord, Psalm 32, 11. Or rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 3 and 1. Rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Do your acts of mercy with cheerfulness, Romans 12 and 8. Serve the Lord with gladness, Psalm 100 and verse 2. Or be happy and shout to God who makes us strong, Psalm 81 and 1. Maybe be happy. Rejoice out loud, Psalm 98 and 4. Happiness is all throughout the Bible. Rejoicing, celebration is all throughout the Bible. So number four, God has planned for your happiness. God plans for your happiness. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good woman, they are ordered by the Lord. There is no plan for your destruction. There is no plan for your sadness. There is no plan for your demise. There is no plan for your discouragement. There are only plans for your happiness. So if that is what God has designed for my life, why am I not living it? Why am I not walking in it? Why am I not experiencing it in my life? Jeremiah 29, 11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not evil. Plans to prosper you and give you a future and a hope. That's the plan that God has for our lives. God plans for our happiness. Well, if that's God's plan, then I'm going to center my life around His plan for my life. And I need to start planning for my own happiness. If that's God's design for my life, then I need to order my life around God's design for me. That leads me to number five, and where I need to spend the bulk of my remaining time today. You can think yourself happy. You can think yourself happy. Because it is not our circumstances that make us so unhappy. It's our attitude toward our circumstances. Can I teach for just a moment today? Y'all seem kind of sleepy today. So let me just go ahead and work the word a little bit. It's not my circumstance, it's my attitude toward my circumstances. I understand there are certain causes or certain things, certain circumstances that seem to control our happiness. And when I was preparing this, I was wrestling with what God was telling me to say and my own perception of things and my own thoughts about things, and I'm arguing with the Lord, like, no, there are things and there are areas in my life that I'm not happy with, and that's all right. There can be things that I want to improve. There can be areas that I would like for them to get better. There can be circumstances that I would really, really like for those things to change. But those things do not have to dictate and decide my entire life. Those certain areas do not have to determine our mood. How many times have you been at work and someone say, man, you all right? Hey, something happened. No, it's just, and we tell them about something that has nothing to do with work. It has nothing to do with home. It's just something that is going on But that thing that is going on is affecting how we work, how we get along with other people, how we function in our day-to-day lives. It's affecting everything because there are certain circumstances that tend to control us. And we allow all of our thoughts to race to that one thing, that one challenge, that one area, that one difficulty, that one place that we don't like. We allow all of our thoughts to go there instead of acknowledging it. Yes, this is an area that I'm not happy with, or this is a circumstance that I am believing is going to change. And while I know that's there, and while I know this exists, I'm not going to allow that to control the rest of my life. I'm not going to allow what happened in 5 minutes to control the other 23 plus hours of my day. How many times do we allow what happens in 5 minutes to control the other 23 plus hours of our lives? How often do we allow what happens in an 8-hour workday to affect what happens when we come home to our families? I know I'm in our business today. I'm in mine too, I promise you. But if we look at this from another perspective, if we get up above the circumstance and say, wait a minute, the devil hasn't got me to fall into sin. He hasn't got me to do some of those big ticket sin items that are advertised. He hadn't got me to do any of that stuff. But man, he has been successful in controlling my thought life and keeping me from walking in the abundance that God has for me. And you know what? He's good with that. His goal is not to get you to smoke, drink, cuss, or chew, or run with those that do whatever that old saying is. That he doesn't care if you do any of that, as long as you do not believe and walk in the best that God has for you. Because you can go to church every Sunday, but if you're still unhappy, the devil is winning. So how do I get a hold of this? How do I change this? And Paul says, after telling them what to think on, Paul then gives a personal testimony as to how right thinking has changed his life. Remember, he said, I think myself happy. I'm not in a good situation. I'm not facing good circumstances. There is not a lot positive going on in my life right now, but I'm choosing to think myself happy. Happiness, and then get over into Philippians chapter 4, 10 and 11. He said, I'm glad in God. I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess. He said, if you're looking at my circumstances, you probably think I'm miserable. You probably think I am the guy that is in worse condition or so unhappy. But he said, I am far happier than you would ever guess. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content whatever my circumstances. What year does that come? What year of serving God does that attitude take over, take hold in our lives? I'm happy, whatever my circumstances. You see, my attitude is my thought life turned inside out. People can't see our thoughts, but they can see our attitude. It shows up in our body language, shows up in our facial expressions. Because our emotions and behavior seem to be dependent on what is going on around us. If those things are not good, then our emotions are showing it. Our behavior is showing it. And the truth is, we can change hairstyles and still be unhappy. We can get a new dog and still feel lonely. We can take a pill and still lay in bed wide awake. Why? Because something else is at work determining our emotional and behavioral responses to life situations. Henry Ford is known as the father of the assembly line. He was told that his idea wouldn't work, but he had a thought. He had a dream. And Henry Ford said this: whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably right. Whether you think you can or if you think you can't, you're going to prove either side of that coin right. If you get up every day believing you can, you're going to prove that to be true in your life. You're going to do it. But if you wake up saying I can't, you're going to prove that true as well. You're not going to accomplish whatever it is that God has called you to. Because our thoughts are our self-talk. Our thoughts are our self-talk. We have to be thoughtful of what we say to ourselves. I know it's popular now to tell somebody, hey, don't talk to me that way. Don't speak to me that way. You don't have a right to talk to me that way. But how are we talking to ourselves? What are we saying to ourselves? What are we speaking in our own thoughts and in our own minds? I'll give you the science. We usually speak out loud, the words that I'm speaking at a rate of 150 to 200 words per minute. I've been up speaking today for, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. May feel like an hour to some of you, but it does fly when you're having fun. But we generally speak at 150 to 200 words per minute. Research says that we talk privately to ourselves at a rate of 1,300 words per minute. I hear lots of wows in the room. We speak 150 to 200 words a minute, but we think 1,300 words per minute. Proverbs 23 and 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, can you finish it? So is he. We don't become what we say nearly as fast as what we think. That's why talk is cheap. That's why if you encapsulate life to Instagram post or just one sentence, you know, little something we put up under our filtered selfie, it's meaningless if we're not thinking the right thing. So what are you thinking? That's what I'm teaching today. What are you thinking? Ever had anybody ask you that in response to some craziness? What are you thinking? Have you ever said that to your kids? Have you ever had it said to you? What are you thinking? It's a good question. What are we thinking? Because it's possible to have a great life with poor thoughts and still be unhappy. We'll say it again. It's possible to have a great life, but have poor thoughts and end up unhappy. Let me go just a little deeper. In Lamentations 3, Jeremiah is depressed. He's known as the weeping prophet. He's a bit melancholy, given to some depression and anxiety, no doubt, in his life. But notice his symptoms and problems throughout the chapter. Lamentations 3, verses 17 and 18. He said, you have moved my soul far from peace. I don't even know what peace looks like. I don't know what peace feels like. My soul is moved so far away from anything peaceful. I have forgotten my prosperity. I've forgotten my own wellness. I've forgotten my own self-care. I'm not even bothering taking a bath or brushing my teeth. I've just forgotten all of that. As I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. My hope is gone. My strength, my will to do anything, it's just not even here. Jeremiah continually thinks of his misery. No wonder he's depressed. No wonder he's struggling so badly. It's not his events that's causing the depression. It's his thoughts about the events that are the problem in his life. But look at how things begin to change. I'm not reading every verse in the chapter. You can read chapter 3 when you get home this afternoon. But let me pick up on verse 21. Then I recall to my mind what just happened. Well, the Lord reminded you. The Lord is telling you. The Lord is bringing to your remembrance the good things that he's done in your life. Then I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Then I recalled in my mind, I started thinking the right thoughts. I started thinking about the right things. And when he changed his focus, he began to see hope alive in his life. If you and I can get our thoughts centered around better things, good things, God things, we're going to see the fruit of it in our everyday lives. Verse 22, the unfailing love of the Lord never ends. That's a good thing to think about. Just a minute ago, you were telling us you hadn't even had a bath or brushed your teeth and you hadn't felt any hope. But when I think about the unfailing love of the Lord and how it never ends, by his mercies we have been kept from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness, verse 23. His mercies began afresh each day. Yesterday was a difficult day. Yesterday was a hard day. Yesterday was a challenging day. But I'm awakened this morning with a fresh set of mercy and a brand new gift of another day. And so I don't have to bring what happened yesterday into today. I can begin fresh. And that's what he's saying that he's going to do. His mercies begin afresh each day. I say to myself, verse 24, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is what I've got going for me, so I'm going to invest myself in him. I may not have money going for me right now. I may not have relationship going for me right now. I may not have health going for me right now, but what I have going for me is the Lord. And so I'm not going to allow my thoughts to be overcome by money or by relationship or by health. I'm going to invest the best of my thoughts in the goodness of the Lord. And I'm telling you, if we will do that, if we will rein in our thoughts, if we will get control of our thoughts, if we will think the right things, then I guarantee you the money, the relationship, the health is all going to come into agreement with where we are spending the majority of our thoughts. Jeremiah literally moves from the pit of total despair to the soaring mountaintops of faith, all with his thoughts. Bible doesn't say that one thing changed about his circumstance. The only thing that changed was his mind. And when his mind changed, his circumstance began to change. In verse 18, Jeremiah thinks about his misery and he feels hopeless. But in verse 24, he thinks about the faithfulness of God and he feels hope. Because hear me today. Our self-talk, our thoughts, they explain why Some can ignore everything positive and focus on a negative and become miserable. And instead of, I think myself happy, like Paul said, we switch it up and say, I think myself unhappy. I see your happiness and say, here, hold my happiness. I think myself unhappy. Or I think myself negative. Or I think myself dead. Or I think myself broke. Or I think myself divorced. Or I think myself sick. That's the thinking of the world. Romans 12 and 2 says, don't copy the behavior or customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing. Hear what he says, the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I've said it more than once in the last few weeks, but I'll underline it again. Experts say that we have between 60 and 80,000 thoughts in a single day. 60 to 80,000 thoughts in one day. That's 2,500 to 3,000 thoughts per hour. $21,900,000 thoughts in one year. I can't even count that high. But yet my brain is constantly moving, thinking. Just in the last hour and 17 minutes that you've been in church, you've thought close to 4,000 thoughts. Are they good? Are they godly? Are they positive? Are they reaffirming? Are they God thoughts? Because circumstances grow out of our thoughts. The greatest achievement was at first and for a time a dream. You know, the oak sleeps in an acorn. The bird waits in the egg. Dreams are hidden in our thoughts, but they are the seeds of reality, and if we will water them. Ephesians 4:23. I'm almost done. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. The Living Bible says attitudes and thoughts must be constantly changing for the better. It's okay to change your mind. Oh no, I'm stubborn. Once I set my face like flint, I'm not budging. And there's a bunch of us that have never budged when we ought to budge. We're bulging, but we're not budging. We can't be moved. Stubborn. Men, where are you at? Stubborn. Women, where are you at? Stubborn. We just won't move. It's all right to change your mind. You know why? Because psychologists are convinced that our lives move in the direction of our most dominant thoughts. Thoughts are like trains. They take you somewhere. Your life will follow your thoughts. So instead of thinking negatively, instead of thinking about things not positive or productive, what if I replace negative thoughts with thoughts like, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? if I change my mind to something like, I can do all things through Christ, and I'm coming out of this circumstance? What if I think like David and say, you have called me to be the head and not the tail? I'm above and not beneath. What about thoughts like, I shall lend and not borrow? Or whatever I put my hand to will prosper. Or I'm blessed and I cannot be cursed. Change your thoughts and God will change your life. And I'm going to tell you, spoiler alert, I'll tell you the end of the movie. The devil, your enemy, always has a bad report. God always has a good report. Whose report are you going to believe? I heard the story of a doctor telling this person they had cancer. They went home, they told their family, they began to feel bad, they crawled into bed terribly sick, but guess what? It was someone else's test results. They weren't sick at all. Their thoughts produced symptoms. Say, Pastor Darrell, you way out there today. Maybe. Ever heard of John Bunyan? He was in a Bedford jail because he had been preaching the gospel and they didn't want him preaching the gospel. So they put him in jail, but he refused to be bound or enchained. And at sentencing that you're going to be in prison for all of these years, he said, well, it's been a while since I've been able to write, so maybe God wants me to write something that will help take the gospel of Christ to the world. Maybe I'm just going to see the positive. God's going to allow me to go to prison so that I can write something that will impact the world. Pilgrim's Progress was for centuries, not on the bestseller list for a few weeks. For centuries, it was the most popular book in the English language, because someone dared to believe positive about their circumstance, because someone dared to rein in their thoughts. Paul is a prisoner at Rome. He's upset because he could not go and preach to the churches, but he understood that God wanted to do something through him, even in his dark times. His thinking was right. And so he tells Timothy, bring parchment, bring paper, bring a cloak. I'm going to start writing. And he wrote letters. We've quoted and read from many of them today. They've been immortalized. They bear his name and have been carrying the gospel to generations ever since. What are you saying? I'm saying you're one thought away from a better life. One thought away from happiness and lasting joy. Just think about it. Just think about it. Now, I can assure you, because I preached on happiness last week, and then I had one interesting week. And I suspect, if I know the devil as good as I know the devil, that this week will be its match or worse. Because that's spiritual warfare. you make up in your mind you're going to do something, you're going to achieve something, you're going to reach for something, and the enemy says, all right, I'm coming after you then. I'm going to make sure you don't achieve or attain or ever get hold of the thing you're reaching for. That's when you have to recognize the tactics. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, be aware that he's roaming about as this roaring lion. He's lying in wait, just waiting. Just waiting for you to believe something good so that he can come in and say, no, let me remind you just how miserable life is. So if I already know he's coming, when he shows up, I'm not surprised. When life or the enemy or anybody else comes with their negative report, been waiting on you, devil. I figured you'd be here yesterday. I knew you were coming. So now that you've arrived, let me promptly dismiss you, rebuke you, kick you in the behind until you get out of my life. Because I'm not spending my 1,300 thoughts wondering about how powerful you are. I'm going to give my best to God. Just one thought away from a better life. Anybody else? Father, I pray today. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm not trying to make this something that it's not. But I feel like the enemy doesn't want us to get this. But guess what? We got it. Now we get to walk it out and live it out and search it out and just see it come to pass in our lives. I pray today for people in this room. I pray for people online. People that have circumstances, many. Challenges, many. Difficulties, many. It would be so easy to spend my every waking thought concerned about, worried about, fretting over the circumstances in my life. I could become Jeremiah so fast. When I think about God's goodness in my life, Lord, when I think about your help in my life, my faith is stirred. My hope is built. And suddenly, the things of earth grow strangely dim because I've set my affection, my thoughts, my mind on you, Lord. I pray about the stuff, Lord. I pray about the circumstances. Your word said pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. I pray about all of it. I'm not allowing it to control my thoughts. My thoughts are on you, Lord. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this room today, saying, Pastor Darrell, I hear you, but I'm not there. I'm struggling. It could be the hurdle of a flawed example of your fathers. It could be the hurdle of suffering and evil in the world. It could be the hurdle of sin in your own life, or it could be your thoughts. It could be a combination of all four of those. But you're not happy. Listen, you got to begin somewhere. You didn't get into your mess overnight, and you're not going to get out of it overnight. You've been living your life fast and furious, one direction, the wrong direction, for years, and it's not going to change instantaneously. No. Got to start unraveling and turning and moving. And I'm not used to going to church, but I'm going to start. I'm going to change schedules. I'm going to get to church. I usually just wake up and grab breakfast and go to work, but I'm going to see if I can't get up a little earlier and spend some time with God. Why? Because I want Him to change my mind. If that's you, I want to pray with you today. I want to ask God to do what only He can do. But He's going to partner with you. He's going to join hands with you. You're not going to have to do it by yourself. He's going to help you. Say, Jesus, I want your help. I can't do this without you. Today, Lord, I want my mind changed. Today, I want my heart healed. Today, I want my thoughts to be about you. Save me. I repent of my sin. I reject the enemy's plan for my life, and I accept your plan. Plans for my future. Plans to better me and strengthen me. Today I say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we all just say amen across this room today? Say amen right there in your living room today. Amen. That means so be it. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand with me across the room today? Thank you, Jesus. I feel like just giving God praise for a moment today. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it just a moment today. If you got to go, God bless you today. Thank you for joining us online. If you want to worship for just a moment, we're going to sing this today and just allow God to wash over us for a moment.